Well, amen. That was a challenge. I've mentioned it before the current situation in our country, although I'm very thankful for our country, our current situation can get me to fret a lot. And, Psalm 37 tells us to fret not because of evildoers. And that was a great challenge, when we find ourselves fretting about the current situation. And all you've got to do is spend 2 minutes looking at the current news, understanding where the current news comes from, and it can get you all balled up in fretting, when what we need to do is what Brad said, is remember the words that God has given us and pray for them. And remember that God is sovereign, and the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. So good challenge this morning, really good challenge, and we appreciate that very much, Brad. I think we've got it all figured out now. Speaking of the news, I found an article that our universe was made in a lab by aliens. Yes, sir. Some Harvard astronomer. So he's made headlines in the past for claiming that alien civilizations won't reply to our messages for 3,000 years. Now, if you know, we have sent radio messages to space just to see if anybody's out there. It's kind of like my cell phone. It just can't even send from my house sometimes. But this guy speculates that our precious and mysterious universe could have been formed in a lab by an advanced technological civilization. Since our universe has a flat geometry with a zero net energy, grasp all that, an advanced civilization could have developed a technology that created a baby universe out of nothing through quantum tunneling. Well, okay. My Bible says God created. That's the truth, and that's what we know. Amen. God gives us the answers. I find it funny. I try and find some of these crazy things in the news that I don't have to fret about, okay? Unfortunately, people believe some of those things. Anyways, all that. Yes, I had a great hair day today and last night when the wind was blowing. There you go.
What hair?
So last week in Sunday school, I know I look at Jerry, all right? Last week in Sunday school, we began to look at some truths in Scripture. And of course, that's why we have Sunday school, is that we can look in the Scripture for truths. We began to look at some truths in Scripture to help us when we're seeking God's guidance. Now, I was thinking about this, and we don't make it a big project every day to wonder about what do I put on my grocery list or what do I, how do I organize my day? I wind up having to do this every day. Lord, I think several days ahead about what needs to get accomplished, and even we just finished with our spring staff meeting. So we're looking ahead months and even into next year about what we need to accomplish. And so that boils down to what do I need to accomplish this month, this week, and even tomorrow? And it's not that we make it a big project. However, you and I as Christians need to be looking into the Scriptures to understand that God will help us, and it will help our lives to seek the Lord for His guidance, whether it's big decisions or little decisions. And so we saw last week that we should be seeking God's guidance, and we were reminded that we should be seeking His guidance for all of our decisions of life, whether big or small. And there are many, many great verses that lead us to this, not the least of which is a wonderful verse that I love, Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now, that could be applied many ways. One of the ways that we can apply that is, Lord, I don't know what you have for me this week, and so help me order my week to a way that's glorifying unto you. Remember last time that I didn't know who had said, I have so much to do today that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer. That was Martin Luther, okay? you know, not that I would subscribe to him, but that was the actual quote says, "Work, work from early until late. In fact, I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer." For me, that quote just says, you know, I got a lot to do today. I got a lot to do this week. Lord, I need your help. I need your guidance. Help me order my steps, okay? And so we need his help. Last time, we saw that we need to have the faith that God wants to show you his will for your life, for your decisions, okay? And we need to have the faith that he wants to give you that guidance and that he will give you that guidance. We gotta have the faith that he wants it. In other words, it's not just something that just comes about. I'm living my everyday life, and so it's just going to come about what I am going to do today. No, God wants to give you guidance on that. We also saw that we need to ask him for that guidance. We need to have this as an important part of our prayer life. Asking God for guidance for our daily decisions and our big decisions. I'm reminded in James, we're getting ready on this Friday night to do the book study on James, okay? James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That's wisdom for big decisions. That's wisdom for issues in life. That's wisdom for, Lord, what should I accomplish today? What should I accomplish tomorrow? I'm going through that, you know, even last night, I'm thinking through, okay, what do I need to accomplish on Monday? And then we just got into the third point of the lesson, and that is that we need to see some things from Scripture. Now, we've seen some things from Scripture already. That's what we do in Sunday school. And so we've seen that we need to have the faith that God wants to give us guidance, that he will. We need to ask for that guidance. And thirdly, we had just gotten in to see some more things from Scripture about God's guidance. And again, you know, you might think, well, it's just kind of just part of my normal every day that, you know, I'm just going to order my day and do what needs to be done. But when we dig into Scripture and we see the, I don't even know the word, the lots of things God has to say about his guidance, it can give us comfort, it can give us motivation, it just gives us the knowledge that, hey, God is interested in how we order our steps, and he'll help us do that. I believe we started and we saw the promise of God's guidance. So let's go back to Psalm 78. I think this is where we left off. So let's go to Psalm 78. Psalm 78, and I think we left off at, we were looking at verses 52 and 53, and the Bible says, but made his own people to go forth like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock, and he led them on safely so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. So this psalm really is going through, it's a narrative of God's works, God's great mercies, and as he led the children of Israel out of Egypt and the things that he blessed them with, and Israel's sins and their hard-heartedness, stiff-neckedness, as he calls it. And in here, this psalm is recounting how God guided them. He guided them in the wilderness. He led them, okay? And if he did that for his people back then, he's going to do that for his people today. And I was talking, or Miss Diana was telling me last time and reminding me, and something that we know, but it's good to be reminded about it, is God led them with a pillar of cloud in the day and a pillar of fire by night. God gave Christians, you and I, if we're saved, the Holy Spirit to guide us. We don't often think about that, but we have the Holy Spirit, and I think of the Holy Spirit as convicting me of sin and you know, either tapping me on the shoulder or slapping me upside the head when I need to be reminded of God's truths. but he also guides us. He guides us, and he wants to guide us. And he will use the Holy Spirit to lead you in his word. We're reminded in John 16:13, you don't have to go there, but we're reminded, Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, is come, he will guide you into all truth." Okay? "For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak." Certainly, the context of this is leading Christians into the truth of the Scripture, okay? Leading Christians into what God has to say. And we need the Holy Spirit. But in the Scriptures is also his guidance for our life, for our big decisions and our little decisions, okay? He's going to lead us into all truth. Go over to Proverbs chapter 3, okay? So there are some scriptures that, there are some scriptures we need to see that promise to us God's guidance. So we're talking about God's guidance in our life. Is God's guidance something that just happens? Is it something that some of us get and some of us don't? Is God's guidance something that's out there that we can't really grasp onto? Well, no. There are some clear promises or some clear scriptures that show us God will guide us. In Psalm 78 that we just looked at, shows a character of God or a characteristic of God that he led his children Israel. He's going to lead us too. Okay? He's going to do that. Psalm 78 recounts how God led them. I mean, directly led them. Okay? And of course, we have the Holy Spirit that guides us in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Now, this is a passage we all know and love, and we could all probably say it by heart, but, I find in Scripture it's good to go back and read those words that I know, okay? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." Now, just right there, you know, there's something I got to do. "And lean not unto thine own understanding." "In all thy ways acknowledge him." So there's three things I need to do. Trust in the Lord. Don't lean on my own understanding. We'll talk about that in a little bit here. "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." That tells me God's got a promise for me that he'll lead me. Well, I've got to acknowledge him. I've got to not lean on my own understanding. I need to trust in him. I need to submit to him things that I'm wondering, okay, what should I do? Big decisions and little decisions. What, Lord, what should I do? You have a promise to me from your word that you're going to direct my paths. Now, I can apply that in my own life, and you can apply that in your own life in any decision that you have to make. Whether it's the, which path do I travel to go up north? As I'm driving to my next work site, or is it the big thing that comes about? Lord, would you please direct my path? There's a promise there. I mentioned Jeremiah 33:3, another promise of God's guidance. Okay? "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not." God's going to show me some great mighty things. Now, is my to-do list, is my grocery list, is my shopping list a great and mighty thing? And I would submit to you that it is when we honor the Lord by submitting it to him and saying, "Lord, would you help me with this?" It's a great and mighty thing that we're honoring God and saying, "God, I need your help." Now again, I'm not talking about making every shopping list a big science project, but if we are in that frame of mind, if we're in that frame of heart, if we're in that right spirit, and we're saying, "Lord, I got a lot of things I got to do this week. I got a lot of things that I need to, I think I might need to purchase, I might need to decide on, I might need to do." We're honoring him by laying it before him and saying, "God, would you help me do what is best, do what is most efficient in your eyes, but what would honor you." Okay? That's a great and mighty thing to me. It's also a great and mighty thing when we say, "Lord, this is a big thing that's before me," or "I see a big thing coming. Lord, I need your help." it's maybe not right on my horizon right now, but Lord, I need your help with this. I use the example of Truman. You know, he's junior year of high school, you know, and senior year's next. And then what's next for him? Lord, we need your guidance. I need you to speak to him. I need you to speak to us. Lord, what? We need your help and guidance. So that's a big thing. I need him for the little things too. Go to Psalm 32. Okay, go to Psalm 32. Another promise. It's amazing. You know, it just, when we're going through these things and we're thinking, there's just so many options. There's so many things I could do. But I do have some promises from Scripture that God will guide me. Psalm 32, I love it. Psalm 32 it goes along with Psalm 51, where David writes, and he's writing about his sin, actually, and confessing his sin. Psalm 32, verse 8, the Bible says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Now, some writers think, as you look at the whole of this psalm, some writers think that these are David's words to others, okay? In Psalm 51, he kind of says a similar thing. He goes through his confession, and he asks the Lord, wash me, cleanse me, and forgive me. And then he says, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, okay? That's Psalm 51. Here, some writers think that David kind of goes through the same thing and says, you know, forgive me, so forth, and then I'll guide you with my eye. However, really the context here, it switches, and I believe these are God's words saying, I'm going to instruct you. I'm going to guide you. David does some confession. He says, you know, I acknowledge my sin and so forth. But God says, I'm going to instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. This is a very clear promise that he says to the psalmist, and by extension us, because he put it in his word, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. My eye, God says, is going to be on you. My eye is going to guide you. My eye is going to help you. And he has his eye on you. He has his eye on what he wants for you. He's going to guide you. So these verses are clear promises that he's got guidance for you and me. He's got that guidance. So there are promises for God's guidance, whether big things or little things, okay? So first, we see from Scripture a promise. Second of all, we see some prayers for guidance, okay? Looking into this, it's not just, you know, it's not just, okay, Lord, just help me deal with my day. Help me know what to do. You know, give me this leading. Yes, we pray those things. But God's got some wonderful things in Scripture about this simple thing of getting his guidance. So there's some prayers for God's guidance, okay? Remember, you know, we had mentioned that not only do you need to have the faith that God wants to give you guidance and that he has guidance for you, but that also you need to ask for his guidance, okay? You need to pray for that guidance. The asking comes in prayer. You need to be seeking that wisdom from God. But the Bible even gives us examples of prayers for guidance, okay? And the verses that we're going to look at really acknowledge God's sovereignty over all events, God's lordship over your life, and his plans for all things to work together for good. Now go back to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. Now in Exodus chapter 33, Exodus chapter 33 follows Exodus chapter 32. I learned that when I looked into the Scriptures. And but in Exodus chapter 32, under the misguidance of Aaron, the children of Israel wanted gods to make gods to lead them, okay? Moses had gone up to the mount. They hadn't seen Moses in a number of days, and the children of Israel, being impatient and impulsive, said, make us gods. And so That whole story is an amazing story. Oh, I just threw this gold into the fire and poof, here out came a calf. Anyways, that's another Sunday school lesson. But as expected, God was wroth with them, and he told Moses, Moses, get out of the way. I'm going to destroy the children of Israel because they've sinned against me, and I've had enough of them. And, you know, amazingly, Moses interceded on their behalf, and God turned his wrath away. But there were still some consequences, okay? Many of the children of Israel died from a plague because of their sin. And then, you know, Moses, not only was Moses, it was amazing to me that he interceded on their behalf. But then, if you look at verses 12 and 13 of Exodus chapter 33, and Moses, so starting at verse 12, and Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. So he's repeating the words God has said to him, saying, you know, God had told Moses, you found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. There's a lot to these verses, but these words in these verses in verse 13, show me now thy way. Moses is praying for God's guidance. And we think Moses is praying for God's guidance. Man, he's leading the children of Israel. This is huge. But why wouldn't these words apply to you and me in our everyday life? God, would you show me thy way? Yes, show me thy way, how I should conduct myself in life and how I should feel about this, that, or the other thing. But God, would you show me thy way for my week this week? Would you show me thy way? Here is a prayer for God's guidance. Okay? He says, give me guidance, Lord. Show me what to do. Show me how. And it's the same prayer that you and I can pray. Okay? He says, show me now thy way. Go over to Psalm 25. Go to Psalm 25. Oh, the Psalms are just rich in these prayers for God's guidance. I don't know about you, but they certainly help me in my prayer life. I don't have all the answers, and I don't have all this down pat. And it's been a challenge to me as well. God's working on me as I study through this. Every time that I get up from my prayer, or maybe I'm a bit in a rush for the day, God goes, did you pray for guidance for today? And I'm looking at these verses, and I'm thinking, okay, Lord, yep, you're right. In Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5, the psalmist writes, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Here's an overt, outright prayer for God's guidance. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Man, if I need help getting through a difficult situation, if I need help getting through a hard time, a time of trial, if I need help in a time where life is busy and there's a lot going on and I need help figuring out, you know, how to order those things and what to attack, so to speak, on this particular day or this particular week, man, I've got it right here. Lord, show me thy ways. Lead me in thy truth. And God will do that. Psalm 25 pictures life as a difficult journey that we can't successfully make by ourselves. I love these psalms, okay? The word way is used four times in this psalm, and paths once. And we find the psalmist crying out to God for wisdom as he makes decisions. He's surrounded by enemies who hate him. His enemies lay traps for him and want him to fail and be ashamed. The psalmist expresses here in Psalm 25 that he knows he's a sinner who doesn't deserve God's help. But he relies on the goodness and the mercy of the Lord, and he asks the Lord for help. And he asks the Lord for guidance. Okay? And, it's a prayer that that we can pray. Show me thy paths. Show me thy ways. Okay? God, and the thing is I have to remember too that God knows and sees you. God knows and sees you where you're at and what's on your plate and what's ailing you and what's stressing you and what's before you and what trial you're going through. So why wouldn't we offer this up as a prayer and say, Lord, show me thy ways, okay? Help me through this, okay? There are more psalms with these prayers for God's guidance. And again, think of your own life, what you face, big things and little things. Go to Psalm 27. We're right there. Psalm 27. Love Psalm 27. Great psalm. Lots to it. Verse 11. Psalm 27, verse 11. Great verse. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Oh, Psalm 27, the whole context there is, again, the psalmist is just being attacked by his enemies and all of that. But in the midst of that, he says, lead me in a plain path. Lead me. Teach me. Psalm 31. Go to Psalm 31. Psalm 31. It's just more prayers. So there's a promise of God's guidance. We see some prayers here. Psalm 31. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Man, I could park right there in the midst of all of my decisions and just park on that, the fact that God is my rock and my fortress. I can run to Him. I can be protected by Him. But then the verse goes on, therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. You know, it's we talked about, it's honoring to the Lord. It's a great and mighty thing when I submit to the Lord, the things that are before me. And God, I need your wisdom. I need your guidance for these little things and this big thing. And God, I need your help. And it's a wonderful thing. And he says, for thy name's sake. It's kind of to step back and go, for thy name's sake, Lord, would you help me order my list of things to do this week for thy name's sake? You know, I think of Brad, you know, I don't know what you got, 1 or 2 million customers out there somewhere, you know, I don't know. But each week is going to provide a challenge. Each month is going to, you know, I imagine there's weather to deal with and things. God, for thy name's sake, would you help me? You know, it's not for my glory. It's not for, my whatever. But Lord, for thy name's sake, help me order what I do. God's guidance, okay? Lead me and guide me, he says. Go to Psalm 143. There's over and over and over again, we see the prayer for God's guidance. That tells me it probably needs to be a part of my prayer life. Okay, certainly for the big things. We know that. God, I need to know what to do. Maybe it's in a situation that you have going on that currently, or it's a situation that may come or that you see coming, or it is the daily busyness. Psalm 143, verse 8, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. Well, there's some fodder for morning Bible time with the Lord. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. Another prayer for his guidance. Look at verse 10. Teach me to do thy will. Okay, thy will, what you want me to do. For thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. The psalmist is saying, Lord, lead me. Give me your guidance. And note how these verses, so are at least three of them, directly ask the Lord to teach the psalmist. So this should be a part of us. So Psalm 27:11, teach me thy way. Psalm 25:4, we saw that. Teach me thy paths. And Psalm 143:10, teach me to do thy will. You know what these verses tell me? It tells me that they imply a teachable spirit. God, teach me. Show me what you want. You know, they imply a humble, submissive spirit towards the Lord when we're praying for guidance. Okay? You can get that guidance from the Lord, but you need a teachable, humble spirit to actually take in that guidance and follow that guidance. Okay? So we see here in Scripture, just in these verses, we see a promise, or the promises of God's guidance. We see some prayers for God's guidance. Thirdly, we need to see some prerequisites for God's guidance. Okay? There's the promises, there's the prayer, and we need to see some prerequisites. Okay? Now, first of all, I'm going to say, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We have talked about we've talked a little bit about the Holy Spirit's role in God's guidance. Well, in order to have the Holy Spirit, what must we be? We must be saved, right? When we get saved, the Holy Spirit indwells us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14, the Bible says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which men's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost," or the Holy Spirit, "teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Now here, certainly, the context, the teaching would be that the natural man without the Spirit of God can't understand the things of the Word of God. You know, an unsaved person cannot understand these things which are given to Christians, the saved, through the Word of God. And it's through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit speaking to us using the Word of God that we get guidance for life. Now, we know that it's God's will that all people get saved, okay? So, you know, I'm certainly not saying, okay, us Christians, we have the Holy Spirit, so we know what the Bible says, and we're better than everybody else. That's not it. It's just that God, you know, praise God. He wants everyone to be saved. Everyone to be saved. You know the verse, 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord's not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but His long-suffering toward us word, to us word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Let me just stay. And we know that every person from the beginning of Adam and Eve to the end of our existence, He wants everyone to be saved. And when we're saved, the Holy Spirit indwells us, never to leave us, praise the Lord. And it's through the Holy Spirit we get His guidance. So the unsaved person cannot get this guidance, you know, this daily guidance or guidance, wisdom for big decisions. You know, they can read, you know, an unsaved person could read the Scriptures. And an unsaved person can see with their eyes the words of Scripture, okay? And they can believe some things about Scripture, right? I mean, they can believe that God created the heavens and the earth. They can, okay? They can believe that Noah built the ark. It's in the book. They can even believe that Jesus was born in a stable, right? They can believe things, but until they get saved and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, they cannot get the leading and guidance that we're talking about, because it comes through His Word. It comes through the Holy Spirit speaking to the believer using His Word. So being saved is a prerequisite for God's guidance. That's all I'm saying. The Bible itself tells us being saved is a prerequisite to understanding the things that are in His book. Right? So one of the things that we reflect on, and, you know, we're talking about this being saved, the Bible tells us that God wants all people to be saved, all men to be saved. The Bible tells us, in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, you know the verse, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That's why you need to be saved. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." All have sinned. which means we have a penalty to pay for that sin. And Jesus Christ came down from heaven. He came down as a human being. He's 100% human, 100% God. You know, we're getting ready to celebrate Easter, right? And he died on the cross. His blood was shed. He died on the cross to pay the sin penalty individually for you, for me, the sin debt that was owed. Jesus Christ paid on the cross of Calvary by his shed blood. That was the song we sang, right? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And he says, we need to be saved, but it's a point in time in your life and mine, a point in time. It's not something that just kind of happens over time, but are you saved? It's a point in time when you realize you're a sinner and you need a Savior, and you take Jesus Christ as your Savior. You understand he paid the price. You trust in him to pay the price for your sin. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Are you saved? It's a prerequisite. Of course, it's a prerequisite to going to heaven, but it's a prerequisite to getting God's guidance. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Anybody and everybody who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what the Bible says. And I praise the Lord. It happened in my life. And there was a point in time where I said, I need a Savior. And I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. So, one of the prerequisite to getting God's guidance is being saved. Being saved. Are you saved? Okay? And I'm telling you, if you're not saved, you can get saved today. You can get saved today by believing on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the first prerequisite is to be saved. But after being saved, you need to be submitted. You need to be submitted, okay? When we're asking for his guidance, you know, we mentioned this a few minutes ago. You know, we need to be submitted to his will. So we're thinking about, we're looking into Scripture about asking for God's guidance, okay? Well, we're going to be saved. We need to be saved, but we need to be submitted. Why ask for God's guidance if you're not going to obey it? Okay? Or do you ask for God's guidance in a conditional manner? Okay? Conditional. It's like saying, Lord, I want to know your will. I want to know your guidance. But if it doesn't fit into my expectations, or if it doesn't fit into my desires, or if it doesn't fit into my way of thinking, then I'm probably not going to obey how you guide me. Now, you might not think these exact words, but does your heart think those things? Or is that a hidden attitude that you might have? Okay? I'm just asking you to check yourself in this area. Okay? We need to be submitted. We want, or we should want, God's guidance in all of our decisions, both big and small. So why would we not be predetermined to obey whatever guidance he shows us? There are some scripture verses that show us. In fact, I think you're in Psalm 143. There are some scripture verses that show us a teachable, humble spirit when we ask for God's guidance. Now, in Psalm 143, verse 10, I think we were right there. In Psalm 143 and verse 10, the Bible says, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. That shows me a humble, teachable spirit. That shows me one that says, I want you to teach me, Lord. And when I want you to teach me, I'm going to follow that direction. Okay? Go over to Job chapter 13. Job, you're just going to take a left turn there, back to the book of Job, chapter 13. We're looking at a humble, teachable spirit, and they'll be wrapped up for this morning. Job chapter 13, I think, a familiar verse. Job chapter 13, you know, Job going through the horrendous trials. But Job acknowledges God in those trials. And Job says, though he slay me, although God might slay me, take my life, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. He says, whatever God does, I'm going to trust him. And the same attitude can be applied and should be applied in our lives, whether it's the little things or the big things for which we're asking God's guidance. God, whatever it is you have for me, I'm going to do. You might think, well, aren't you making kind of a big deal about the little things? I don't think so. When I need help guiding my week, God, whatever you lay on my heart that I need to do, I'm going to do that because I can tend to mess things up. Even Jesus Christ, you know, in Luke chapter 22, remember he's in the Garden of Gethsemane saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. It's easy to picture that in the big things of our life. Lord, whatever your will is, we want to do. Whatever your will is on this big thing in my life, I want to do. But Lord, whatever your will is for my oncoming week, Lord, I want to do that. Would you guide me? Okay? I'm not trying to downplay what was happening in the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus right there, by no means. But the attitude there, I am applying it to my own life and to your life. In Psalm 40 and verse 8, in Psalm 40 verse 8, go there and then we'll be done for this morning. We will be done. In Psalm 40 verse 8, the psalmist writes this, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. So when I apply this to when I ask the Lord for guidance, for direction, for help in making decisions, this ought to be part of my attitude. This ought to be, I delight to do thy will. I can bring to the Lord my to-do list, my little decisions, my grocery list. I can bring to the Lord my big things and say, all right, Lord, well, whatever you want, I guess I'll try and do it. Or I can say, Lord, I delight to do thy will. Certainly true of the big things. You know, again, I use the example of, you know, guiding, helping Truman, you know, we're going to decide and help him decide what to do after high school. That's a big thing. And, we did this with Todd Keith as we prayed about, you know, those missions trips and things he was doing. And those are big things. And Lord, I delight to do thy will. It may be a stretch. Lord, I don't know what your will is going to be, but I'm going to delight to do it. Same thing should be applied to all my busyness and all my everyday things. Lord, I delight to do thy will. I want to honor you with what I do. I delight to do thy will. And so we see a teachable, humble spirit. So, as a prerequisite to getting God's guidance, I need to be saved and I need to be submitted. And next week we're going to talk about the last couple things on this topic and we'll wrap this topic up about God's guidance in our life. All right, let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we come before you and Lord, I thank you for the truths of your word. Lord, that we can go to your word and Lord, if we say and we believe that your word is our final authority, our guidance for our life, everyday life. And so, Lord, you're showing us things from Scripture that truly help us with our everyday life. And Father, I pray you'd help us to take these on board. And Lord, I pray that you would help us honor you with our lives in following your guidance. Father, be with us now as we go into our morning worship hour, and that you may be glorified in it. In your name, I pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.